T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area because it works. You can visit EMP180.com and get empowered. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Jason Bishop. Coming up at 7:40, J.P. Finley is going to join us. We'll get back into the Redskins. Covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. Also give you a chance to win some Nationals tickets. Nationals, man. It's brutal. They're 9 games back.
Yeah.
9 games back.
Well, it sucked because they got kind of a tough outing from Corbin, so they were behind 8-ball early, and then just weren't able to generate enough runs. It is what it is.
Yep, it's a bad team, and it's going to be a bad year.
They called up another reliever,
yeah,
Tanner Rainey. I saw him for his inning of work. I saw an inning of his work.
He only pitched an inning.
Okay, I didn't know if he came in after, because to be honest, I didn't tune into the game after that.
Mm-hmm.
And he threw gas. I guess they traded Tanner Roark and got Rainey for him.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll help the bullpen. Somebody tweeted us this morning, you can always tweet us at Junks Radio, calling for Davey's job. Everybody always calls for Davey's job, and I'm not a proponent of Davey staying. I'm not necessarily a proponent of him being fired immediately, because what I said is, okay, you fire Davey. You still have a sucky bullpen, and you still have horrific fourth and fifth starters.
I don't think there's anybody you can hire that would change anything.
And you still have a lack of production, you know, game in and game out from the lineup.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, Rendon's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But the lineup other than Rendon's pretty inconsistent, I would say.
So far.
Look, it's a bad baseball team.
It's sad.
And you know what? They lost.
We thought we were going
to have lost to a bad baseball team.
We thought we were
going to
have a contender to talk about all summer long.
No, well, you're not going to.
No, I wonder what the attendance is going to be like in July. What's the attendance going to be like in June?
It's already dipped about 5,000 to 6,000 per game off of last year.
If they're 12 games back, there won't be anybody there.
It's not going to be a great look. No, it's sad. Yeah, I thought it was interesting that yesterday before the game, you know, they're already starting to throw out potential candidates for the Mets managerial position if they make a move. And, of course, Dusty Baker is one of the names. Showalter and Dusty.
That'd be great. I thought Dusty got hosed.
I'm pro Dusty. Pro Dusty guy.
I did think some of his moves are a bit wacky in the playoffs, but it's not like he did worse than his predecessors.
Everybody makes moves that backfire.
And I actually loved, they lost in the last game, right? I can't remember, 5-game series or 7-game series in Dusty's last series, and he brought in Scherzer.
Oh, yeah.
It just didn't work out.
Five games. Yeah, they've never been beyond the 5-game series.
Right. Yeah, I forgot if it was 5 or 7. I just know it was the elimination game, and he brought in Scherzer with the lead.
Yeah.
I liked the move. They were going for it.
Me too. That's not why they let him go.
And the defense was horrible.
They let him go.
I know the second.
I know, ultimately, because
my point is, had they won that game and advanced,
of course,
Dusty still has his job.
I know the sexy names are always to throw out the Girardis and the Showalters and the Dustys, because those are the veteran guys that were making a bunch of money. But I'd be surprised if the Mets replaced Mickey Callaway with Joe Girardi or Showalter. I mean, they're paying Callaway like $850,000. I think the Mets ownership's a lot like the Nats ownership. They just don't want to pay a guy.
Well, they didn't pay Dusty a lot. They could probably get Dusty for cheaper than what the going rate is.
But see, and this gets to my question that I've been bringing up the last couple of days. I don't know enough about whether the Lerners say strictly to Rizzo, look, you can only spend this amount of money. That's what's kind of reported. But still, they have one of the higher payrolls, so it's not like they're cheap. A lot of people like to say
they don't want to pay
Lerners
the luxury tax,
cheap,
which can't blame them.
But I don't know what's going to happen if, look, the Lerners have made billions of dollars. They're business people, right? I don't know what happens if you suffer an attendance loss, game in and game out. I don't know how much that costs. Like, let's say you have 7,000 less fans. You're losing the parking money, the beer money, the food money, the ticket money. You're losing all of that. And say the TV ratings come down, so the advertising buys go down, all of those things. So when you're losing all that money, potential money, do you then all of a sudden tell your GM, all right, we're not going to sign these guys for these big dollars and have this big payroll because it's going nowhere for us?
Well, especially, like,
do they all of a sudden go from a team that has, I don't know what their payroll is it over $200 million?
I don't know if it's quite 200.
But whatever it is, do they say, you know what, we want you to slash $50 million off the payroll. We're not going to give Anthony Rendon the big money.
It's not unusual that they would slash, but it doesn't mean that they wouldn't sign. You could slash others, still sign Rendon.
Yeah, but
they're not
going to
just give
guy.
Up and decide we're not going to be competitive and not pay people.
I know, but you could go the way and say, you know what, we're going to just suck it up for a couple years. We're going to go away to the Astros.
I don't think they're
going to try and come out on the other side.
I don't think they're in danger of doing that anytime soon. I mean, they might slash some guys, but they're not going to just all of a sudden say, we're just going to go historically bad, win 45 to 55 games a year, and then hope in 4 years we're selling.
Maybe it's somewhere in the middle, though. They might say, we want to load up on some young pitching prospects. We want to load up on some young talent.
I think it'll be more like it was last year when it looks like it's obviously gone wrong and there's no turning back. They'll sell pieces.
It's almost at that point.
Oh, and it's way too early for that. I mean, I think it's over, but they're not going to start selling pieces yet because it's not officially over.
I was told by someone who knows Mark Lerner pretty well, all right, and I was told not to, you know, give the name out, but he said that Lerners are very hesitant to give Rendon the money that, like, Arenado got, which would be roughly in the $250 million range.
Mm-hmm.
They said they wouldn't mind giving him 170 or 180, but 250, 260, they said they kind of balked at. So I don't know if you believe that. I don't know how true
it is.
I'm
sure they don't want to give him that money.
But
maybe they could do a shorter term.
It's the sixth highest payroll right now in the bigs, and I got here, they're at $165 million for 2019. So just by comparison, the Red Sox are at 225, and the Cubs are at 210. And the Yankees are at 210. All right, so you get over that $200 million mark, and that's when you're paying
the payroll
tax.
They're not going to just slash payroll, go all young, and win 55 games. They're not doing that. No way.
Well, there's certain guys they can't get rid of.
You don't necessarily go that far, but maybe you do move a couple guys for prospects, including some big boys like Anthony Rendon. 800-636-1067. What do you want to see them do moving forward? Because, look, there are 115 games left. I just did the math. We keep saying get to 90 wins. If they were to get to 90 wins, they got to go 71-44 the rest of the way, which is a 62% winning percentage.
They'll be lucky to get to 80 wins. They're not getting to 90 wins. This team has no shot of getting 90 wins.
They'd be lucky to get to 75 wins.
Right. I mean, throw that out the window.
It's a losing record.
I mean, they're 9 games out.
They're not going to make any decisions until they're healthy for like 3 or 4 weeks. And they're getting close.
They're pretty much healthy.
Getting close. Well, you need Adams and Zim, at least one of the two back.
I think Adams was taking a swing, so he'll be back in the next game or two.
Look, what happened last night? Parra plays first, and what happened? Parra drops a foul ball. All right, you absolutely 100% chance you need Zim back. Sorry, you just do. That's a big injury.
But this is what happens with Zim.
Oh, I know. You can't count on him to play a full year.
When's the last time he's played 150 games?
I'd have to look.
I just
seems like years.
I reject out of hand the notion that they're gonna let Rendon go, because then you're becoming like the Twins or the A's or some of these teams of yesteryear, where once their guys became silly, they just let him go. I refuse to be that organization. I cannot, as a fan of that organization, that cannot happen.
You may not have to deal with that. But what you do have to deal with is a huge deficit here on May 21st.
Yeah, no, I'm resigned to.
They don't show any signs of battling out of it.
No, I'm resigned to. It's just a team that's going to scuffle all year, and they're just not going to live up to potential.
They can't win a series opener. That is scary.
Yeah.
I think they're 2-12 in series openers. I don't know how that makes sense. I can't put a finger on it. Besides the fact that they're not very good. I mean, I get that. But they're losing to teams that aren't very good
either.
Well,
they're losing at a much higher rate in the season opener than series openers than they are in the other games.
Where are Nat fans at? 800-636-1067.
They're in a
hole. Are you at anger? Are you at apathy? It's starting to trend towards apathy. That it seems like it's the same old Nats. You keep waiting for it to turn around, but it's I mean, now you're way deeper into the season, so I don't know that people are truly expecting some sort of turnaround. So what is happening with Nats fans?
Well, I'll be angry if they let Rendon go. I'll tell you that right now. Angry. The Bryce thing was just, we were resigned to it. We knew it was going to happen. It was still annoying kind of when it ultimately did. But this, I will be legitimately angry.
I understand why you'd be pissed. But let me ask you a question. If they want to keep Rendon, but they offer him a heavily deferred deal, like they have with every other big free agent, why would you expect Rendon to take that?
I don't know.
Did Strasburg take deferred money?
Yes.
Strasburg's got deferred money.
Okay.
By the way, a lot of teams around the league are starting to go that route, too.
Yeah.
And I've heard that like seven or other kind of big-name guys have deferred money.
There might be one team or two teams or three teams that say, all right, we're not going to defer any money. We're going to pay it all up in the first 8 years.
That's fine.
Why would you expect Rendon to stay?
Don't know.
So I mean, that actually would make you angry if they gave him a big offer and he just chose to go elsewhere.
I'll be angry if they don't resolve this situation.
Will you be angry if they trade him for top prospects?
Yes.
Because even if this team is going nowhere with him.
Yes.
They're going nowhere with him.
They were somewhere the previous 5 or 6 years. They were winning 92, 93 games a year.
Not last year. The last two seasons.
Including last year, they're averaging like 91 wins with him.
I understand that if you go back to 7 years. But the last two seasons, if the rest of the season plays out like we expect it to, which means no playoffs, the last two seasons with Anthony Rendon in the lineup playing great baseball, they've gone nowhere. So they clearly need something more.
Well,
I'm not.
They need more.
No. I think it goes beyond that. If you really want to keep Anthony Rendon, you've got to give him the best offer. And I don't think the Learners will give him the best offer based on their MO, based on their history. I don't know why you would think differently. I mean, that's what they're going to do.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
They might
on
give
the
him
offer.
$250 million.
They gave Schwartz a great offer. They gave Scherzer a great
what
offer.
What I'm saying is if I'm the GM of the team.
Heavily deferred money.
It
doesn't always bother players.
This is where I'm different than maybe both of you. If I'm the GM of the team and I'm looking at this team that has a horrific bullpen and needs a fourth and fifth starter, I'm going to listen to offers for Anthony Rendon while I can still trade him and make sure that I get something versus getting nothing, which is what happened with the Bryce Harper deal. So if there's a team that's going to say, we're going to give you our first-round draft choice pitcher, who, yes, he's in double-A ball right now, but he's projected to be a really good starter down the road. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you, you know, a couple of other prospects. I'd be inclined to maybe take it because you're going nowhere with Rendon.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, that's a different notion. You're just doing that because you think like you're going nowhere with him versus if you think you can't re-sign him. If you think you absolutely can't re-sign him and then you're just, there's no coming back from it.
Well, even if it's just a roll of the dice.
Like, I wouldn't do that.
You're going to sign him, but if it's a roll of the dice.
Those are two different issues.
You're willing to gamble on the fact that he's going to leave after this year and you're not going to trade him whatsoever. You're willing to take that gamble is what you're saying, Eric.
He's willing to take the gamble.
No, if it became obvious, and I'm not privy to the negotiations, but if it became obvious that there's zero chance we can come to a deal because Boris has money lined up and Anthony wants to cash in, can't blame him, the Learners aren't going to pay him, then okay, do it. But it will anger me as a fan.
Well, just say it's 50-50. It's a coin flip if he's going to stay or not.
I don't know.
But I'm just saying that you wouldn't.
If it was 50-50,
you would take the gamble.
Maybe. I don't know.
JP's
prone to rash moves, though. You guys understand
Eric,
this.
I think the same situation happened last year. I don't think.
I think they knew 3 years ago they weren't going to keep Bryce.
Right. Rizzo knew there was no chance they were going to keep him.
Yeah.
All right. He pretty much told me that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When I had lunch over at his suite.
Yeah. Well, he told us that, too. He told me he said he would go for whoever gave him one penny more.
Right. So that's why Rizzo had something lined up with the Astros to get a big deal done, and the Learners put the kibosh on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be the same situation here. Rizzo might want to trade him before the deadline, but the Learners might say, no, we're going to hang on to him. You know, we still want to put people in the seats. We still feel like we have a shot at him, even though they really don't. I think it's going to be the same situation.
Rendon hit a home run last night.
The difference will be they're dreadful this year.
Yeah, they are bad.
And last year they still had hopes up until the last few weeks.
Rendon hit another home run last night. He's having a great year. Contract year. What do you do with Rendon if this is indeed a lost season. 800-636-1067. And as a Nationals fan, would you be angry if they shipped him off for prospects?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. J.P. Finley is going to join us coming up at 7:40. Redskins insider for NBC Sports Washington. We'll get back into the Reuben Foster injury, Dwayne Haskins versus Case Keenum, and more. We'll also give you a chance to win some Nationals tickets. We're talking about the Nationals. Lost again last night. Patrick Corbin allowed 4 runs, and the Nationals couldn't get back into it. Made it close, but they now have dropped to 9 games under 500 and 9 games back in the NL East. It's appearing to be a lost season, and we were talking about what to do with Anthony Rendon. He is going to be one of the premier impending free agents in Major League Baseball, and do they do what they did with Bryce Harper and try and sign him with the risk of potentially losing him via free agency? Or do you do what the Orioles did last year with Manny Machado? They knew Machado was going to be gone, and so they dealt him for something. I'm not saying that those prospects are all going to work out for the Baltimore Orioles. I don't know. But they ultimately moved him.
But that was ultimately also a different position because the Orioles were out of it for sure. The Nats were still grasping. Now, it never materialized. But I'm part of the reason why they didn't pull the triggers. They still thought they could.
You're talking about last year with Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Now, this year's a little bit different because it looks like they might be more in the Orioles' position. But still, overall, my general position is if the Nats are going to become the Twins, right, of the 80s and 90s, like a team that can, that has these homegrown stars, and then once they reach their free agency, they're just going to let them walk. I cannot support that team. I can't. I cannot be a fan of that team. If we're just going to groom stars and then let them all walk when it's the price of doing business. You groom a star and it eventually gets paid. You get the extra year of service. You get all their controllable rights. You get them for cheap for all those years. And then eventually, if they hit, you got to pay them. You can't just let them walk every time and hope the next young kid replaces them. That's no way to run. I'm sorry. You might run a business that way, but you can't run a successful sports franchise that way.
Well, I mean,
just can't.
Maybe the learners are just kind of picking and choosing where they want to spend their money.
Well, they have spent money before. That's the thing that's so bizarre.
So right now, they're spending their money in the starting rotation, and they do have young stars who eventually they're going to have to pay. They're going to have to pay Trey Turner. They're going to have to pay Soto if these guys turn into stars. Robles.
Well, you think they have to pay Rendon. He's arguably better than all of them.
But the way that they like to do things doesn't jive with most players. So if Rendon knows it. If Rendon is okay, if he really loves the area, he wants to live here, and is okay with signing $240 million deal, but $100 million is going to be deferred, okay, you'll probably keep him. But if he wants all that money in 8 years, like most guys do, bye-bye.
They still have time. The trade deadline is July 31st, but this article by Connor Byrne, I saw it on MLBTradeRumors.com, points out one difference between Rendon and Harper is that actually with Rendon, they may actually get more compensation via draft. If he walks via free agency, there's something called the competitive balance round B.
Okay.
These nerdy rules. So they point out in the article that Rizzo is going to have to make a decision at some point whether the compensation would be worth it versus trading him.
Yeah, I mean, he knows more about that than I would have any clue. I don't know what that means. But all I know is it's a huge decision, and don't be surprised if it ends up just like the Bryce Harper deal.
Well, according to this story, it says that the Nationals have made offers to Rendon. Rendon has expressed his interest in staying with the Nationals, but they haven't been able to bridge the gap.
Well, of course. It's all the same stuff you heard about Bryce Harper.
Except that you assumed from the beginning, though, that Rendon was more open to staying and not necessarily out to get the last dollar. It wasn't necessary. That's kind of been the assumption.
I just look at who his rep is.
It's true.
And when you're rep by that guy, he's going to go out and get you the best deal.
He got a deal for Stras. They didn't go out and test free agency.
I think that's true. You're going nowhere with Rendon, you've got a couple months. If you want to wait a couple more weeks and see how it plays out, maybe the Nationals get back into it. But let's say we're in the same position on June 21st. So it's June 21st, 30 more games in, and they're still, 10 games below 500. They're 9 games back in the division. I'm looking to maybe trade him. What the Orioles did with Manny Machado.
Yeah, but hold on. Are you doing that because you think you can't re-sign him? Or are you doing that because you don't care? You just want more players.
Yeah, I want more players.
Yeah, you're not doing it because you think you can't re-sign him. You're doing it because you just want more players.
It's a contributing factor, but I think that if you're not going anywhere and you can get 5 prospects, some of them may change your franchise greater than the 1, go for it.
I'd always take the sure thing.
I wouldn't do it for a garbage deal. I'm not saying for a garbage deal, but like, this article points out the Orioles had a bunch of bidders, and they took what they thought was the best deal at the time for Manny Machado, and they got something.
Right. Well, if you trade the player, it's going to be hard to re-sign him in the offseason.
Oh, JP's writing him off if they trade him. Yeah. He's not saying they're going to re-sign him.
Yeah.
Look, I'm fine either way. I mean, if you really need some players, if you need to fill some gaps, I think you got to get more than prospects for Rendon. You got to get at least one everyday player. And then some prospects, but
prospects are suspects to me. They're a joke.
Well, I mean, Rendon was a prospect.
Yeah, but so many of them miss. I mean, Lucas Giolito.
True, but if you probably can't get him back next year, you got to get something for
Michael
him.
Taylor.
Do you wish the Nats would have traded Harper?
I don't know. If you take Grant as word about some of hindsight? Those guys, I honestly don't know. I mean, if those guys could have helped us, sure.
Well, sure. I mean, you just don't know.
Yeah.
By the way,
it's better than getting nothing.
Lucas Giolito, I just looked it up, he started 8 games this year.
He's pitching better this year.
He's pitching much better than he did last year.
He's nowhere near what everybody said.
He's 24.
Yeah. I don't think Fetty's anywhere near what everyone said. I don't think Michael Taylor's anywhere near the 5-tool stud everybody said.
But Giolito might not be the best pitcher in baseball, but he's better than Annabelle Sanchez and Jeremy Hellickson.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. But it's rare that you have guys as good as Anthony Rendon. That's why I don't just let him walk and just think I'm going to take 5 more iffies and hope it adds up to a greater than the stud that you have right there.
Well, that's on the learners. They don't have to let him walk.
And I don't have as big a problem with the deferred money, but, I guess it depends on how much deferred it is.
I don't know what they have in the farm system where if you move somebody like Rendon, do you have somebody who could play third base who you have confidence in? Or could you move Keboom, who they're very high on,
maybe
who had some
idea.
Problems at shortstop, could he play third base?
Maybe that's the idea.
We wouldn't have – well, we don't have problems with the deferred money now because we're just dumb radio guys. If you were Anthony Rendon or you're Bryce Harper or you're, Nolan Arenado or some other stud free agent, you'd have a problem with the deferred money.
Although some like it because Trav was looking up during the break. Ken Griffey signed some deferred contract with the Reds. He's still making money.
Yeah. Some guys like it. Some guys want just all the money up front.
I mean, I
know what I would take.
Right, but Strasburg's not being paid for 40 years. It goes for 7 years longer than his contract. He signed a 7-year deal. He'll be paid out for 14 years. Same with Max. Very similar.
Yeah.
Corbin only has $10 million in deferred money. Now, his contract is insane because he's going to be making $35 million at the end of it, but that's paid out at the time.
I'm just telling you that a lot of players want the money in their contract year. In their contracts, if it's a 6-year deal, they want it all in 6 years.
Sometimes there is a point of, they're getting $100 million. Obviously,
Max and Strassi didn't have a problem with it.
They'll probably be able to do whatever they want with that, and then they could still get all their extra money in the deferred.
According to the story, the tax threshold this year, $206 million, and right now the Nationals are only $3 million under that $206 million tax threshold, they want to stay under.
Yeah, I guess when I threw out the $165, I wasn't including the injury reserve money, which is about $40 million. So, it's up there. It's up there in the $200 million range.
Where does that put them with everybody else?
6.
Yeah.
I've seen lists where they're 5, but they're definitely in the top 6.
I just refuse to accept, and maybe I will have to this year. I'll have to maybe probably stop being a fan. I'll have to refuse to accept that we're just going to be a team that's going to groom stars, and then when it comes time to get paid, we're going to generally let them walk. I can't be a fan of that team. Why would I invest my time in that? Not interested. Let's go to Quinn in Reston. Quinn, what's up?
What's up, boys? I think you have to be ready for the Rendon trade. They had to trade Bryce last year. You have to get what you can get.
EB, not necessarily. Not if you think the season's still hanging in the balance, and last year they thought it was.
Well, no. I don't mean now. I think closer to the deadline. I think you got to give some more weeks. I agree. But EB, I think we're in trouble for you, buddy, because I think they don't value position players. I think they're going to be that team that just lets guys walk when they reach free agency.
You know, that's fine. Then there's no need for me to invest time and energy into that. What's the point?
I'm sorry, but
are you gonna be a fan of that team?
I mean, I don't really have a choice. I mean, I probably will, but
sure you do. Go watch some high school
games. Probably
or something.
Will. I mean, I'm a Redskins fan too, and that's a nightmare. But
yeah.
What I was just going to say, last thing really quick, was, you know, they value starting pitching, and if you just look at the statistics, it's a player that plays every 5 days, and they have their entire payroll tied up in that. So it's we have to realize that maybe, you know, the learners are not the owners that we all thought they were.
All right, thank you, Quinn. I appreciate the call. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Jimmy, Fort Washington. Jimmy, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
How you doing, guys?
Jimmy.
I think that when you look at the situation with the Nationals, you've got to trade Rendon to get something back. But at the end of the day, and this goes for all these teams in Washington, D.C., you got to hire some head coaches. You got to hire guys that can run the team, that can get these guys to play on a championship level. These owners has got to fall back. The Washington Capitals had a head coach that won the championship, and you gotten rid of them. These owners have got to wake up and say, when are we going to win championships? That's what it's all about, and that's what you play for. The Washington Nationals should have signed Jim Riggleman when we had him as a manager. The Nationals has got to
play. He didn't necessarily have championship pedigree. I mean, I liked Riggleman, but he didn't necessarily have championship pedigree.
Let's bring Riggleman back.
Right?
Look, they're going to probably move beyond this manager. I don't know if it's going to happen this week, next week, a month from now, at the end of the season. The question that we're talking about, though, is what do you do with Anthony Rendon?
You try to sign
It's a separate issue dealing with the manager.
The only way I'm moving him is if you know there's no chance you can get him back.
Yeah.
So if it's 50-50,
and you're out of the race.
What if it's 50-50 on July 30th? Okay? Trade deadline's July 31st.
So
on July 30th, you believe it's 50-50. You've made some really good offers, but Boris and Rendon, they tell you, you know what? We really like your offer, but we're just going to wait until free agency. And a team like the Yankees comes in, and they make you an offer. I just saw a list of the top five teams who would be in the trade market for Anthony Rendon.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees 1, Brewers 2, Indians 3, Angels 4, Pirates 5.
Okay.
You know, so their teams are going to be interested. And contenders are going to be interested.
Who wouldn't want them?
So it's July 30th. You believe it's a 50-50 deal. You believe as the Nationals ownership
have
and
to
GM
blow me
made
away.
A really good offer.
You have to blow me away. I'm not just going to do it for just some guy that you label a prospect. That didn't mean jack to me.
Well, I mean, you're not going to know who they are.
I'm saying what if I'm involved in the negotiations.
If there's five, if there is five prospects, right, mm-hmm. for Rendon.
Five suspects?
Right. So, like you say, it's five suspects.
Yeah. Five guys have done nothing at the next level.
Are you not making the deal just because none of them are guys did you recognize?
I mean, what if
it's not me. Those guys all know who they are.
Right. But
Those guys know.
Okay, if it's a Victor Robles type, a Juan Soto type.
I guess.
Those are suspects, right? They were suspects a year ago, but Victor Robles might be a 30-30 guy this year.
Right.
Isn't every player a prospect at one point?
Of course.
Yeah. That's what I just said.
Right. Most of them don't hit.
Well, you got to take a shot.
But look at a minor league system and go see how many of them make it to the big league.
I know, but if it's a Victor Robles type, like it's the Brewers offer you their best prospect. He's the Victor Robles of the Brewers organization.
If I'll always say this. If I can keep my guy, my proven superstar, I'm always going to keep my proven superstar over a suspect.
I know, but it's a proven
superstar. Now, if I can't keep my proven superstar and it's apparent that he's going to walk, that's a different story, and then we'll have to talk, and I'll try to get the best deal I can. Mm-hmm. But that's a sad spot to be in.
I'll sneak in one more.
Let me see. Let's go to Colin in Rockville. Colin, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
I mean, my opinion is that things keep going the way they're going. You gotta trade Scherzer, try to get some hitting on that team, you know, just to get some excitement back in the field.
Trading Max.
They're not going to trade Max.
I mean, he's the heart and soul of the team. Then you're really going to lose your fan base.
Yeah, they're not going to trade Max.
I mean, what if you bring in a home run hitter?
Yeah, but then you're losing arguably your best starter.
But the home run hitting's not their problem.
What are you going to do in the rotation if you lose your best pitcher?
I mean, if they trade Max, I mean, that's the surest way for me to light my jersey on fire.
Where are they in home runs? I'm going to guess they're in pretty good shape in terms of home runs. That, to me, is not their issue.
Ian, D.C., quickly. Ian, quick.
Yeah, so my take is that Scherzer's under contract for about 3 more years. Rendon could be a part of a team that could win now. Or if you're going to go into a rebuilding phase after Scherzer's time, then he could be the centerpiece of that rebuild. I'm not sure why you'd move him now.
Well, I guess you move him with the thought that you're not going to be able to re-sign him.
Well, I mean, I think the learners just need to back up the dump truck and pay the guy his money.
I agree with you.
Yeah, well,
that's the price of doing business, of being an owner of a major league franchise.
Yeah. The Nationals are dead in the middle of Major League Baseball in terms of home runs with 60.
Well, it's not like they've had outrageous run production this year.
Right.
So, not surprised.
Believe me, they certainly want some more pop in the lineup. They've been disappointed. All right, give your child a first-class basketball experience and a first-class life experience at Coach Wooten's Basketball Camp. Their goal is for campers to love hoops even more. They instill confidence. They teach the game. The kids have fun. They teach all day, every day, 5 skill sessions per day. They work on your basketball IQ. They've got competitions, contests. They bring in guest speakers. They got 3 games per day. Instruction is the difference at Coach Wooten's Basketball Camp. Register today at CoachWooten.com with 2 O's and 2 T's. CoachWooten.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. A lot of people weighing online via Twitter and text on the Anthony Rendon deal. You can always text The Fan on the Thompson Creek Windows text machine, 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. Going to give you a chance to win some Nats tickets coming up in a few minutes.
It's crazy that they're going to be in the same situation in back-to-back seasons. Now, obviously, Harper, a much bigger name and more high profile, but the team is going to have face the same dilemma that they faced last year.
Right.
You know, whether or not they trade the guy because they know they can't get him, or do you keep him and try and resign him in the offseason, and how much money to throw at him? It's crazy.
Yep. Actually, we'll give you the chance to win those tickets right now. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. We'll hook you up with tickets to see the Nationals take on Miami May 25th at Nats Park, just a few days from now. 106.7 The Fan and PenFed Credit Union taking you out to the ballgame all season long. It's courtesy of PenFed Credit Union. Details at thefandc.com/contests. All right, joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our buddy J.P. Finley. Covers the Redskins for NBC Sports Washington. What's up, J.P.?
Fellas, what's going on? Thanks for having me on.
Hey, yeah, before we get into the Redskins, I see, like, tweets. You're a big-time golfer, right? Were you out at, like, Oakmont recently?
I was. I got to play there last week. I love golf, but I'm terrible at it, so I want to be sure I'm clear on that.
What was your hookup at Oakmont?
My mother-in-law. Her dad grew up in Pittsburgh and had some family that were members there a while back, and I asked, you know, 2 years ago, get me on if at all possible, and finally the call came in.
That's nice.
I was telling one of the guys, you guys did a challenge a few weeks ago with AJ. AJ used to be a producer on Grant Danny's show, and he had never played a round of golf, right? He'd always hit balls, and he claimed that he was decent because he had been to Topgolf.
Right.
That he could go to a driving range.
He was awful.
What did he end up, of course. What did he end up scoring?
The most generous 150 you've ever seen.
It was a generous 150.
I believe that. Of course. Of course.
Well, that was just like years ago when we had Brett.
Yeah, he thought he'd be silly.
Remember, he says, yeah. I could look at this guy's swings and go, I could do that.
Yeah, how
hard
is that?
People think it's easy until you get out there.
Yeah, he went up there and hacked it up. He couldn't even hit the ball 5 feet.
All right, we only have you for a few minutes here. Want to get your take on yesterday. Obviously, the lead story is the Reuben Reuben Foster injury, kind of devastating. First play for him, third play for the OTAs, you know, in general. Non-contact injury, obviously. He lands on Tyler Catalina's foot, rolls his knee. Mm. It's terrible. Hopefully there's not significant long-term damage beyond the ACL. We had Craig Hoffman on earlier, JP, and he said, you know, and I understand it, that the Redskins got worse yesterday with that injury. And that's true, right, because he was somebody they were relying on. But they didn't have him last year. I don't know. I still think there's an opportunity to replace him with a starter and be good on defense.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think the floor of the defense got worse, but I think their ceiling took a hit. Mm-hmm. If you look at what they did this offseason, adding a real impact player on all three levels defensively by adding Landon Collins in the secondary, by adding Montez Sweat in the defensive front, those guys should make an immediate impact for this team. So then you had Reuben Foster in the middle, and it's like, wow, they've gotten better on all three levels. And Reuben Foster hasn't done much in the NFL. It's important to point that out.
Right.
But everything he showed at Alabama and the measurables and the speed and the big play ability could really help this team, and now it won't be there. So, you know, I think the Skins still have a potential top 12 defense. I won't knock them down because of the Foster injury, but I think this really does impact their possibility of becoming a top 5 group, something like that.
Hmm. Who's the best candidate to step in and replace him? Is he on the roster at this point?
I think you're going to see the same linebackers you saw late last season in Mason Foster and Sean Dion Hamilton. You look around the league at what free agents are available, and it's not the sexiest list. I mean, honestly, two guys that come to mind would be Will Compton and Zach Vigil, guys that have played here and started games for this coaching
staff.
They're
both available?
Both are available, yeah. Mm-hmm. But the thing to keep in mind, there's going to be some June 1 cuts, and that's only a couple weeks away.
Right.
And I think all of a sudden now, where maybe a veteran safety or a veteran pass rusher was probably the top of the list of if somebody worthwhile came along making some money available, I think now maybe it's a linebacker, especially if it's somebody with speed that can get sideline to sideline. You know, clearly the situation went bad with Zach Brown, but it wouldn't have surprised me if Zach Brown saw the news yesterday and wasn't wondering, hey, I bet they miss me now.
Mm-hmm. And you know what's funny is I would have thought Mason Foster would be on the outside looking in, and they still have him penciled in as a starter. We've obviously all seen him slow down. I mean, the guy plays hard, but, you know, he's not who he once was. That's really becoming a weak spot there in the middle of that defense.
You know what's funny is a lot of fans were wondering if Mason was going to get cut in the run-up to free agency just because he's making a decent amount of money, and I never felt that way. Mm. And obviously you can never predict a major knee injury in a non-contact drill in OTAs, but they had to keep Mason. They needed one veteran in their linebacking group. The rest of these guys combined haven't added up to the amount of tackles Mason made last season.
He's
not the fastest in coverage. We'll be clear about that. But he's a pretty sure tackler. He's played linebacker in the NFL for seasons stacked on top of one another. They need some experience. And despite the really bad moves he made last year on social media, he's a leader in the locker room. The coaching staff trusts him, respects him. And now I think his role is more clear than it's been in a while. He told us yesterday he lost 10-15 pounds trying to get quicker for this coming season.
That's good. He's only 30. It's not like he's 34 or anything.
Now, I know we're weeks away from camp, but are there certain veterans that you look at now and then you say, well, they could be in danger of getting cut when they have to whittle it down?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that it – I don't even know that we have to wait till going from 90 to 53 to see that. I was pretty surprised Vernon Davis wasn't at OTAs yesterday. And who knows? He could have a family situation. He could have had a, you know, his mom's birthday. I have no idea what he had going on. But Vernon is making a good amount of money, and he's 35, and the production probably doesn't match the $6 million he's set to make. And the young, cheap tight end options were all there, and Matt Flanagan and Jeremy Sprinkle. And if they do have to free up cash to go get a linebacker here in post-June 1 cuts, I mean, that could be a guy that you look to. And, you know, the other guy is Josh Norman, and I've said for a while I don't think he's going anywhere this season. I think 2020, his release from the final year of his contract is almost a formality. If you look at the way the contract's structured, they would save like $13 million against the cap. I think that's a done deal. But he wasn't there yesterday, and they have a lot of questions at cornerback, but if Quentin Dunbar really is all the way healthy and they like the development of Moreau, and if they actually think Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is going to commit to football for a year, maybe Norman is a guy you finally you make that move, and you can save some money this year against the cap. The cap conversation isn't that important unless there's another guy out there they want to go get, because right now they still have about $10 million in cap room that allows them to get through the season as they get injuries and stuff.
All right, JP, I only have a couple minutes. I want to get your take on the quarterbacks yesterday. First day, Case and Dwayne, they're on the field at the same time. We had Hoffman on earlier. He seemed really impressed. He thought Dwayne had a very good day.
He's right. I mean, it's striking just when you see the two of them lined up next to one another. It's Haskins is significantly bigger. The ball comes out with way more zip. I do think Keenum, eventually, when there's more contact, Keenum will show the difference between understanding and having played in the NFL, and Haskins hasn't seen that size and speed coming right at him. But Haskins absolutely won the day yesterday, and it's a matter of when, not if, Haskins takes over the QB1 job. I think it'll be week one.
Wow.
We'll see.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
He looked good. I mean, as bad as the news, the Reuben Foster news was yesterday for Redskins fans, watching Haskins, don't be too depressed.
What about the receivers?
Yeah, the receivers. What about Doxson? Did he do anything? I'm so sick of that guy.
No. The receiver situation is going to be trouble. I tweeted this out late last night going through quotes and stuff. Haskins, at the end of practice, was asked, you know, how's it going getting to know these receivers? And he's like, yeah, it's really great working with veterans like Brian Quick and Trey Quinn. So that bad. Quote stand on its own.
I didn't know what even to make of that. All right. Thank you, JP. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks very much, fellas.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Because Paul Richardson's not participating right now, right? I would assume he's not participating.
I didn't see the whole list.
Off the injury.
Who isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a talented bunch. I'm surprised he didn't drop McLaurin in there. Did McLaurin participate?
He certainly did in the rookie thing.
I would assume.
I would think. I'm excited about him.
Those guys are.
I'm excited about Harmon.
He's his teammate. Yeah. You know, teammate at Ohio State.
He runs a 4-3.
Right.
Character guy. I'm all about McLaurin.
All right, coming up next, we're going to the Wizards situation. Candace Buckner from the Washington Post is going to join us. Of course, the Wizards on Friday. It's a big deal. Made this huge offer to the GM from the Denver Nuggets, who had ties to the area.
His wife had ties to the area.
Spurned them.
Yep.
Spurned them. He started his career with the Wizards as an intern.
Yeah.
He spurned them, and so they're still looking for a GM with the draft coming up next month. Candace Buckner joins us from the Washington Post here on the Junkies.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.